Chapter 33. Sean's leave in Ladybird passed quickly, much too quickly. Imbijani had disappeared on a mysterious errand into Zululand. Sean guessed that it related to the two wives and their offspring that Imbijani had cheerfully sent to the kraals of their parents when he and Sean had left Ladybird so many years before. Dirk was incarcerated each morning in the schoolhouse, and so Sean was free to roam alone upon the hills over the veldt that surrounded the town. Most of the time he spent covering the huge derelict ranch called Lionkop, which spread above the escarpment. After a month he knew the course of every stream and each fold and slope of the land. His legs strengthened with the exercise. It no longer pained him, and the scar lost its purple shine and dulled down to a closer match with his skin colour. But as his strength returned, and flesh filled out his shoulders and padded the gaunt bones of his face, so restlessness came back to him. His daily pilgrimage to Lionkop Ranch became an obsession. He wandered through the bare rooms of the old homestead and saw them as they could be, with the thatched roof replaced to keep out the rain and the flaking plaster renewed and freshly painted. He stood before the empty, smoke-blackened fireplace and imagined the glow and warmth it could give. Stamping across the dusty floors, he judged the yellow wood planking as sound as the massive beams that supported the roof. Then he wandered out across the land, stooping now and then, to take up a handful of earth and feel its rich loamy texture. In the May of 1900, he went to the deeds registry at the magistrate's office and surreptitiously inspected the title. He found that the 15,000 acres of Lionkop Ranch had been purchased from the estate of the late Stephanus Johannes Erasmus by the Ladybird Banking and Trust Company Limited. Transfer had been signed by Ronald Pye, Esquire, in his capacity as chairman of the bank. Sean grinned. Ronnie Pye was his most cherished childhood enemy. This could be very amusing. Sean settled himself in the deep, soft nest of polished leather formed by the armchair and glanced curiously around the panelled office. "A few changes since you were last here, hey, Sean?" Ronnie Pye interpreted his thoughts accurately. "Yes, a few." The Ladybird Banking and Trust Company was doing very prettily, judging by the furnishings. Some of its prosperity showed on the figure of its chairman. Plenty of flesh under the solid gold watch chain. Dark but expensive jacket to offset the extravagant waistcoat. 15-guinea handmade boots, very nice, until you looked at the face. Pale so that the freckles showed like irregular gold coins, greedy eyes. Ears like the handles of a shaving mug. That much hadn't changed. But although Ronnie was just 2 years Sean's senior, there was plenty of grey in his ginger sideburns and little wrinkles of worry around his eyes. "Been out to Tunis Kraal to visit your sister-in-law yet?" There was a sly expression in Ronnie's face as he asked this. "No." "No, of course you wouldn't," Ronnie nodded understandingly and managed to convey that the scandal, though old, was by no means dead. Sean felt a repugnance that made him shift in his chair. The little ginger moustache heightened Ronnie's resemblance to a bush rat. Now Sean wanted to end the business and get out into the fresh air again. "Listen, Ronnie, I've searched title on Lionkop. You own it," he began abruptly. "Lionkop?" The previous morning, the clerk from the registry had hurried down to Mr. Pye with news that earned him a sovereign. There had been many others calling with the news that Sean had visited the ranch every day for a month, but now Ronnie had to search his memory to place the name. Lionkop. Lionkop, like... "Ah, yes, the old Erasmus place. Yes, I do believe we picked it up from the estate. Paid too much for it, I'm afraid." Here he sighed with resignation. "But we can hold on to it for another 10 years or so and get our money back. No hurry to sell." "I want it," Sean cut short the preliminaries, and Ronnie laughed easily. "Hey, you're in good company. Half the farmers in Natal want it, but not enough to meet our price." "How much?" The established price of grazing land in the Ladybird area was 1 shilling and 6 pence an acre. 10 minutes before, Ronnie had set himself to ask 2 shillings. But now he was looking into Sean's eyes and remembering a fist crunching his nose and the taste of his own blood. He heard again Sean's arrogant laughter rejecting his overtures of friendship. "No," he thought with hatred. "No, you big cocky bastard. Now you pay for those." 3 shillings, he said. Sean nodded thoughtfully. He understood. Then suddenly he grinned. "My God, Ronnie, I heard you were a pretty sharp businessman, but I must have heard wrong. If you paid 3 shillings for Lion Cop, they really caught you with your skirts up." And Ronnie flushed. Sean had probed deep into his pride. "I paid 9d," he snapped. "I'm selling for 3 shillings." "Make out the deed of sale for £2,250, Sean said, "and I'll take it." "Damn it! Damn it to hell," Ronnie swore silently to himself. "He would have paid 5. "That's for the land only. An extra £1,000 for the improvements." "Anything else?" Sean inquired. "No." Sean calculated quickly. With transfer tax, he could meet the price with a few hundred spare. "I'll take it." Ronnie stared at him, while his brain wriggled like a snake. I didn't realize he wanted it that badly. I could have had his soul. Of course, my board will have to approve the sale. It depends on them, really." Ronnie's board of directors consisted of himself, his little sister Audrey, and her husband Dennis Peterson. Ronnie held 80% of the shares, and Sean knew this. He had examined the company's articles that were lodged with the registrar. "Listen to me, dear friend of my youth." Sean leaned forward across the stinkwood desk and picked up a heavy silver cigar box. "You made me an offer. I accepted it. I'll be here at 4 o'clock this afternoon with the money. Please have the documents ready." Sean lifted the cigar box in one fist and started to squeeze. The muscles in his forearm writhed like mating pythons, and the box crumpled and burst open at the seams. Sean placed the distorted lump of metal on the blotter in front of Ronnie. Don't misunderstand me, Sean." Ronnie grinned nervously and dragged his eyes away from the box. "I'm certain I'll be able to convince the board.